This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
I did have a little sledding incident where I tried to impress the kids. Hey, Dad, you can go faster. Try to go faster. So, of course, I tried to go faster and didn't realize that when I got to the bottom of our hill that I was going to shoot straight over the snowbank into the street.
Wait, you were airborne into the street?
I was like, there's no chance I can get enough speed coming down this little hill and I'm going to get anywhere near ramping up over the snowbank. Oh, no. Wrong. Straight up over it.
This is DCR.
Was there a moment where you were terrified?
Terrified.
On 98.7... ESPN.
Oh no.
Doesn't that make you feel alive though? That moment of being terrified? Like when you landed and you were safe after that snowboarding, for lack of a better term, or snow tubing incident. Didn't you feel like you were alive when you landed and you were okay?
No.
You were just, you were shaken.
No, I wasn't shaken. I'm questioning my judgment. Like, what are you doing? Like, there's no reason to let a 5-year-old talk you into being stupid like this. God forbid I did get hurt. Now what? Now all of a sudden Cassie's by herself taking care of 3 kids and
that's not fair. You didn't think of the big picture.
And Dum Dum is rushed to the hospital with a broken bone because he decided to be off sledding.
That's right. But it's important to be that dad.
I guess so. Like it's awesome that, you know, the kids think I'm the greatest, but I mean, I don't know what good I am if all of a sudden I'm hobbled up with broken leg or something because I decided to be an idiot on a snow tube.
Now, you need Jesus.
Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here's my thought, Chris, though. If a 5-year-old and 4-year-old can convince him to do things that he probably shouldn't be doing on a tube, what was he like back in like high school and college when there was legitimate peer pressure from people that he was going to school with?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I think Rico was very influential. So when he was with his peer group back in the day, I think he was more the puppet master. He was the one that was pulling the strings. I don't think he was the one that was going out there and doing all the crazy stuff. Like hearing him tell the stories about Pete and Such, like it doesn't seem like he was the guy that was kind of, you know, he was in the middle of it, but he wasn't the one that was executing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So would you say, Rick, that you have less control now than you did as a young man?
No, I got more control now. I mean, Chris is right with that group of friends. Like, I was kind of like, you know, Pete's puppet master, and like Pete would do all the crazy stuff, and then Such would run away. But like, as far, I mean, like hockey-wise, like those kind of friends, I would pretty much... Yeah, I was probably, you know, the guy that would do almost anything.
You would do anything?
Anything. It's about the story. I mean, if there's going to be a good story attached to it, I would do it.
All right.
Well, I mean, I got my father-in-law tattooed on my butt cheek. I mean, there's not much that I wouldn't do.
Don't be a Rick.
Yeah, it's questionable.
I get your face tattooed on me.
Really?
Of course.
Well, he does call you Delicious Rick.
That is true.
I mean, that does warrant some
Where
aid,
would I go?
It?
Wherever you want.
Do you have any spots left? Like, what would you say is prime real estate now?
I want to get my chest done. I'm looking to get my chest done. But, I mean, wherever you want. I mean, I would be hard-pressed to put you, like, on my lower back. Like, I don't need a day broth of a tramp stamp.
Like, have it a navel. Like, right across
no.
the belly button?
No, that's... That, now you're getting a little bit crazy.
No,
well,
no,
you said anywhere. I'm looking at where I'd feel comfortable.
I mean, do you really... Would you feel comfortable with your face around my... Like, close to my...
Well, I don't know that I'd feel comfortable at all, to be honest.
It was awesome.
I'll take the ice cream if you do it shirtless and eat it off your navel.
No, but you wouldn't think that was great if your face, if your beautiful face was tattooed somewhere on my body?
I guess it would be some kind of an homage, but I think it'd be strange, no? Like you're at the beach and someone's like, oh, what's that? Oh, that's, you know, my father. How about that? That's my father-in-law. How about that? That's Rothenberg? I think it'd be odd.
That's my
swim shirt.
I think it would be just about as odd as another grown man calling one guy or saying that he smells delicious. Just saying.
I've missed your smell.
Exactly.
Quite.
I think it'll be delicious.
Chris, you would sooner say you enjoy his odor than if he had a tattoo of you on him.
See, Dave, I would say neither. Like, I would never say either one of them. So to try to give me that proposition doesn't really make a whole lot
Dave
of sense.
Dave Rothenberg nudity makes me uncomfortable.
Yes, that does too. Yeah, that makes me uncomfortable. As well as you saying Rick smells delicious. Makes me completely uncomfortable.
All right. Fair enough.
Very true, though. I do smell fantastic.
You smell good now?
I smell good now.
Right now?
Right. This very instant, I'm smelling
But there's no one to have to smell good for right now.
I smell good for me.
Really?
I want to smell fresh. I want to smell nice. I get take a nice shower, put on the nice lotion.
You put the lotion in the basket?
Occasionally, I put the if you act up,
put the lotion right in the basket. All right, let's get into the New York Yankees. I mean, I'm thrilled that it starts today. We're what, 5 weeks away from the start of baseball? There's some questions, but Chris, you got to feel pretty darn good about the 2021 Yankees, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good about where we're at in terms of making sure that we position ourselves for a postseason run. But, I mean, there's still some questions on this team. Like, the rotation has a bunch of questions. Now, I get what Brian Cashman's strategy is. He's just throwing bodies at the problem, and he's going to try to answer it that way. But, I mean, you're going to have some of these guys come through for you. I mean, Corey Kluber or Jameson Taillon, one of those guys has got to emerge as a frontline pitcher. I mean, you're going to have to depend on one of those guys once we get into the tournament because, let's be honest, in the ALDS against the Rays, starting pitching is what lets you down in games two and three. So, I mean, looking forward, trying to spin this thing forward past the regular season to the time when we all expect the Yankees to make their run, like that is going to be a question that they had to get figured out.
Yeah, but I mean, it's health, obviously, because the Yankees haven't been able to stay healthy.
But that's the case with anybody ever, right?
Well, anybody ever, but I mean, there are certain teams that just, I mean, seem to get injured more than other teams. Like, it's something that the Yankees have consistently dealt with, right? So, I mean, health is important for them. And, I mean, the starting pitching, there's a lot of, I mean, once you get past Gerrit Cole, I mean, there's a lot of questions. There really is. I mean, Corey Kluber pitched, what, one inning last season?
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, he hasn't pitched in years. You're right.
No, Taillon
has never been the pitcher that you'd hoped he would be if you're Pittsburgh.
And then you got two young pitchers in Montgomery and Davey Garcia. So, I mean, Herman coming back. I don't know what the story with Herman is. I think he's going to be important, but you got plenty of arms in the bullpen. It really depends on how good you feel about Chapman as your closer. But you do have Britton. And then, I mean, can Gary Sanchez be some version? It has to be a better version, but some version of what we saw early on in Gary Sanchez's career. Like, can he figure it out? Because he was brutal last year. Gleyber Torres did not have a good year offensively. Judge was hurt. Give Stanton credit. He actually showed up in the postseason.
Yeah, he was
unfortunate.
Good.
It's unfortunate you wasted it. But, I mean, the talent, listen, the talent is there. I mean, they have all the pieces. It's just, I mean, it's showing up, staying on the field, and doing what we expect them to do.
All right, so let's open up the phone lines to the Yankee fan. And you can be a non-Yankee fan and still comment. 800-919-3776. And the question I'll ask you guys is, did the Yankees get better or did everybody else get worse in the American League East, which gives you more reason to be optimistic about the Yankees?
Well, the Red Sox got worse.
Yeah.
Baltimore got better because they just signed Matt Harvey.
Okay, but they're
I'm joking.
Got better, though, right?
Toronto got better.
Yeah.
But it feels like Tampa took a step back now.
But Tampa's always going to be Tampa, aren't they? They're going to have guys step up. They're going to find a way to put a competitive team out there. The Rays have just been a thorn in our sides, man, the last couple of years. They're that annoyance. They're that little bee in your ear when you're at a cookout. Like, that's the Tampa Bay Rays.
But if they were named anybody but Tampa, you wouldn't believe. Like, you'd be like, boy, that's the team that lost a lot of talent.
No, I wouldn't. But the Tampa Bay Rays are well run. They're one of the best run clubs in the sport. So, I mean, you know they're always going to be relatively competitive.
They play good baseball. They play good defense. I mean, they play baseball the way I enjoy watching baseball, where, you know, situationally they're good. They play good defense. I mean, it's always painful the way that they deploy their bullpen because it's sometimes too much. Like, enough is enough. But
yep.
I mean, give Kevin Cash credit, man. I mean, with limited resources financially, I mean, he gets every ounce out of what he's given. He does.
And they are not fearful of the Yankees. I'll tell you that.
Well, no, because I mean, how could you not be? Like, you're this team. You're in the same division, and when you start looking at the payrolls, it's like, you know, no one on paper we should have no chance. But you know what? Screw it. I mean, we can compete with this team.
And they do. And they're not fearful. And a lot of teams are. Let's go to Ray in Jersey City. Ray, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. I just wanted to talk about the Yankees and just how, like you said, they're throwing bodies at the problem. They just need one of these guys to step up. you know, you don't feel great about, you know, Tyon coming off of that second Tommy John, you know, he's never been seen before. But if he could step up and be, you know, frontline starter, maybe, you know, these guys can make a deep postseason run. I feel like everybody else in the division got worse, especially with the Rays trading away Blake Snell. And I think Glaber would be better this year. You know, I think that weird season just tipped him off. And I'm already sold off on Gary Sanchez. He's done to me.
You better hope he's not done to you. I mean, you need Gary. You may not like Gary Sanchez, but I mean, he is a, like, when he's right offensively, he's a difference maker for the Yankees. He really is. What he can provide. Power wise, I mean, there's not many. There's that maybe.
No, probably none.
Yeah.
That can give you what he can offensively when he's right.
Yeah, but this feels like a prove it year for Gary Sanchez, 100%, doesn't it?
Huge 100%. Year for him.
Yeah. Like, if he doesn't get it done this year, I think he's run out of chances with the organization.
I don't know how you bring him back if he doesn't produce this season.
No, you can't. I mean, this is decision time. Like, he's going to either figure it out or this will be his last year with the Yankees. I mean, what it comes down to is this, is that when you look at what the Yankees have done, starting rotation still bothers me a little bit because there are a lot of questions. Someone, one or two guys need to absolutely 100% step up. I mean, say what you want about the Rays losing Snell and Morton are huge losses.
Huge. I mean, that's Rick, you're talking about two frontline starters.
Frontline starters, but again, the way that they use those pitchers, the way they were using Snell, I mean, he's not pitching him. He's pitching five innings, and then they're deploying the bullpen. And there's some kind of, they got something special going on down there with how they, you know, how they handle pitch their pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the best out of
Michael
pitching
Walker,
staff.
I give up.
Well, that's what they're counting on.
I know they are.
They're counting on they can fix him. You bring Archer back. They got Rich Hill. You still got Tyler Glass now. They got, I mean, the diversity of their bullpen. I mean, what you're seeing, the arm angles and everything else is crazy. And, I mean, they still do have, they got talent, man. They have talent on the field. They do.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying they're not a talented team, but they're not the Yankees. I mean, on paper, right now, if I show you those two rosters, it's clear which one is better.
Yeah, but we say that every year about the Yankees, right? And yet, the Yankees, when they met up with the Rays in the ALDS, they took the L. I mean, this is the situation where this team has not realized the expectations that we put on them ever since the 2017 season. And at some point, you know, in order to have a dynasty, you got to start with winning one championship, and they haven't been able to get to the point where they can even play for a championship. They've gone a decade without being in the World Series. So as a Yankees fan, I'm tired of talking about the potential of the team, and I want to actually see them go out and do it.
So anything less than an appearance in the World Series is a subpar season for you right
yes,
now?
Yes, yes, yes. The way that this thing is set up for them in the American League, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think I disagree. Rob in the Bronx, you're next up, Rob, on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a solution for this sitting problem. If you're going to sit the player, pay him double. Because if he decides that he wants to leave and he is disgruntled or he doesn't play, they fine him. So if they decide as a team they're going to sit him, pay him his salary plus his salary.
That's not going to happen, double. Rob. That's not going to happen ever. That's not going to happen. I mean, all these people, too, that are like, oh, you know what? You should fight for these things in the CBA. I promise you, once you sit in a couple of those meetings, you realize it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't.
You don't win.
You get what battles. They want you to get. That's it. They don't. I mean, you can't win those battles. You can't. I mean, when you have owners looking you in the face saying, hey, we'll make more money by not playing, how do you fight against that?
Find the organization. I mean, find the organization. If you want to sit the guy because you want to trade him and you don't want to get hurt, find the organization. Just like you find a player if he comes out and says he wants to be traded, find the organization. If they won't let him play, if he's a healthy scratch because they leaked it that they want to trade this dude, find the organization. If players can't talk about wanting to be traded, then why the hell should teams be allowed to openly speculate about moving a guy?
Yeah, there's a double standard, and I don't think it's going to change. I think this is where we are.
Well, I mean, you're saying it's not going to change, but I mean, if LeBron James and the elite stars in the NBA want something to change, guess what's going to happen? It's going to change because unlike the other major professional team sports in the NBA, it actually feels like the players have some leverage. Like if a star player doesn't like a situation or they don't like how something is with the collective bargaining agreement or something, when they sit down to talk about it, that gets changed. So I'm just looking at this, if enough players and enough stars in the NBA have an issue with it, the NBA is going to be forced to address it. We've seen them do that.
I don't know. Listen, I mean, it sounds great what you're saying. I mean, when owners dig in on certain things that they want, I mean,
they don't lose.
Stuff, Well, let's not forget, too. I mean, are we having an NBA All-Star game for some reason?
Yep. Does LeBron want it?
No. I don't think any of them do. LeBron doesn't want it. Giannis doesn't want it.
Of course it does.
But here's the thing. They don't feel strongly enough about it where they're going to push back that much because they recognize, okay, this is something that helps promote the league and ultimately leads to more money. But if it's something that they feel on principle is wrong, then they're going to force the NBA and Adam Silver the act. I mean, I know this is a different situation, but the Donald Sterling ownership group and how he acted and some of the things that he said, they got him up out of there. Because enough of the players had an issue with how it came out and the things that he said. They actually forced an owner to sell a team because enough players had a problem with it league-wide. All I'm saying is if they have enough of a problem with what's happening with Andre Drummond and what has happened with other players around the league when it comes to trades and how clubs handle it, then it'll change.
All right, that's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN is presented by Progressive Insurance. So one person we haven't talked about pressure with the Yankees, I think there is Aaron Boone. How important is this season for the Yankees skipper? And do you trust him?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
For a moment, thought Santiago was upset with me because you know that I take criticism very seriously. He said, you know what's a pet peeve of mine that you do, Dave? And I was like, oh, no. Like, I'm going to have to just change completely. And I don't know how you guys feel about it. So if there's a guy on the line, and his name is like Bill in Staten Island, I could potentially say like Billy Staten Island, and apparently that throws Santiago. So where do you fall? Do you think I can adjust the name for my own purposes, or do you think I should just stick with exactly what's written on the call screener?
I'm with Santi.
You agree?
Yeah, I mean, we're not in the same studio. I mean, you're doing this. I mean, poor Santi's in the studio by himself.
Well, so, he's got RJ with him.
Well, he's got RJ with him, but I mean, they're all doing certain things. Like, someone's screening the calls. He's trying to pay attention to the show. I think you should do him the solid way.
I think you're probably right, but here's where I will defend myself a little bit. And I will attempt to adjust that moving forward. If we have one person on the line, and his name is like Rob in Westchester, and I say Robbie in Westchester, he says that throws him.
Well, how do you know that Rob, I mean, he said
he
that
might not like being called Robbie.
Maybe he doesn't like Robbie.
Yeah. I think you should read it as it's written, Dave. Kind of like what happened with me in the 2018 NFL draft. Read it as it's written on
now
the call screener.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So whatever it says on the call screener, I go with that. I should not.
Lorenzo Carter. Yes, exactly.
Clemson.
Linebacker from Clemson.
Yeah.
And then adjust. Once you now all of a sudden you bring him on, and now maybe you want to like
he's lighthearted.
Talk. Yeah. Like, hey, Rob, you mind if I call you Robbie? What's up? What do you got?
Okay.
How you doing today?
Okay, but you side with Santiago in this, and I don't think you're necessarily wrong. But I'm surprised that if there's one guy on the line and I adjust the name a little bit, that throws him. No?
I will say this: as often as you've done it, every time that you have done it, the caller doesn't seem thrown off themselves by it. So there's not that awkward silence. Is he talking to me? I don't know. I'm not Bill. I'm William. But it's worked so far.
See,
so
that's what he's concerned about. Great point, Santi. Great point, Santi. He's less concerned about himself and more concerned about you say a name that's not the name the person gave.
Yeah, he doesn't
and
want me to speak. Hurt the feelings of the listeners and the callers. I understand.
No, not hurt. Nothing to do with the feelings. Is that now they're nervous to begin with that they're coming on the radio. And now all of a sudden they say, you know, it's Rob from Massapequa. And you say, you know, Bobby in Massapequa. And he's sitting there listening. He's like,
well, I'm not Bobby. Someone,
no, I'm not Bobby.
Multiple people from Massapequa with similar names
yes.
are on the line right now.
We're big in Massapequa, and then all of a sudden he doesn't speak, and then there's a moment of silence. He's just trying to tighten this thing up.
But he says that's not an issue.
No, he says he can't believe it's not an issue. He would expect it to be more of an issue, but it's not.
Not an issue. A non-issue. All right, for all the ones who get it done, Granger's always there to help. Granger offers, or Grain. You know, you say however you like. Supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches, plus their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, call or click Granger.com, or just stop on by. All right, so we mentioned this moments ago, and that is Aaron Boone. How much pressure, Rick, do you think is on Aaron Boone this year? I mean, the expectation is this team is going to go to the World Series.
I think there's always pressure, but I think, I mean, let's be completely honest. I mean, how much managing is Aaron Boone really doing?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're going to say there's pressure on him, then there's pressure on Brian Cashman.
I think there is pressure on Brian Cashman.
Okay, but I mean, define pressure. Like, I mean, hot seat pressure, like if he doesn't win a World
Series.
So just the natural pressure of being one of the favorites to win a World Series.
Well, yeah, you're the Yankees, which just in and of its own comes with pressure, and you're the favorite to go to the World Series from the American League, which in and of its own comes with its separate pressure, yes.
I think especially now, too. I mean, when you look at the American League, I mean, outside of what you're competing against in your division, I mean, how many teams would you put up there at the, you know, as an upper echelon team like the New York Yankees?
I mean, maybe Chicago.
I mean, very few. The White Sox?
Yeah, maybe Chicago.
Are they? I mean, you look at the over-under numbers, and I don't think they're anywhere near the Yankees.
Don't do that. I mean, Pacoda's got the Mets winning the division by 11 games.
Which is crazy. But and how crazy is this? Pacoda has the Mets winning by 11 games, and Vegas has, I think, both the Mets and the Braves at 90.5.
Because that makes sense. What Pacoda gave you does not make any sense. How great would that be, though? Could you imagine if the Mets... I mean, this is like... I mean, that's a lazy boy kind of season for us. I mean, that's recliner. We're just hanging out. No problem. We're just going to run away with this, this 11.
No, I can't imagine the Mets having that kind of season. No. I can't imagine it being that kind of ride for the Mets fan.
We don't get that lucky.
Yeah, you guys are not used to nice things.
No. Can't even get nice things right now.
No. Yankees are the favorites at plus 250. White Sox are plus 400. Twins, Rays, plus 700. I mean, the Yankees are the prohibitive favorites to win the American League.
Yeah, I mean, you put in the Twins there. The Yankees own the Twins in the postseason. Here's what it comes down to, Dave. I mean, the Rays, I will say this. I mean, we'll ask Kirchen. I mean, I don't think the Rays necessarily value starting pitching like most teams do. So the loss of Morton and Snell is going to hurt, but I don't know, I mean, how much they believe it's going to hurt them in all actuality. And then the Jays, but, I mean, as far as the team you like to come out of the American League, I mean, it has to be at this moment.
It has to be the Yankees.
It has to be the Yankees. It has to be. Unless all of a sudden now, once you get past Gerrit Cole, the rotation turns into a mess.
That would be on Cashman. I mean, if the rotation is awful after Gerrit Cole, you can blame Aaron Boone all you want, but that's on your general manager because he's putting this team together.
And that's scary, Dave, because that's a huge question mark coming into this year, man. I think that's the biggest thing that they got to figure out throughout the regular season is who those guys are going to be, who are the guys that they've proven that they can depend on in that rotation, and most importantly, who are the guys other than Gerrit Cole that you feel comfortable starting in a playoff series? Like, I think those are the things that you got to figure out. You hope Domingo Germán will be one. You're hoping Luis Severino can come back at some point in the season and be a part of that equation. But, I mean, you still have a question mark with starting pitching, and it feels like we have this conversation every single spring. And you would think that Brian Cashman would have found a long-term solution for that by now. It just so happens that we haven't. And this spring is like every other one. We still got questions about that.
Yep. Guest on DCRP via the Goodyear hotline. And that's what it is. They took a number of flyers, and the hopes are that some of them hit. And if half of the flyers hit, the Yankees are going to be a very dangerous baseball team.
Yeah, but that's a big if, man.
It is a big if.
I mean, that's a big if. I mean, you're talking about losing, you know, Morton and Snell and what they can do in Tampa with their pitching staff. I mean, once you get past Gerrit Cole, I mean, Kluber hasn't pitched, barely in the last couple of years.
Tyon's coming off multiple surgeries.
We both like Jordan Montgomery. Yes. We all like Davey Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a lot of different options.
They got talent. Really, they got talent. It's just a matter of who are the guys that prove to be dependable.
Yeah, and this is the one thing that Brian Cashman has struggled with, let's be honest.
This is one of his blind spots, no question about it. He hadn't been able to figure out the rotation.
But, I mean, as far as what you're going to see every day, fingers crossed, as a Yankees fan, Chris, you see it every single day. I mean, line up top to bottom. I mean, it doesn't get much better.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Brooklyn Nets when we have that conversation. Offense is not going to be the problem for the Yankees, and it hasn't been. It really hasn't been. Like last year in the ALDS, offense was not the problem. It was starting pitching, and we got to be able to figure that out beyond Gerrit Cole. So
I'm surprised for the amount of money that Tanaka signed for, and
that he didn't come back to the Yankees.
That they didn't bring him back. Because at least you can, I mean, you feel like he can count. Like, in big spots, Tanaka's shown you. I mean, he can do it.
Yeah.
There still is the unknown. I mean, I think you can dismiss it if you want, but I think we've seen it plenty of times where there is, I mean, the element of pitching for the New York Yankees does affect certain people negatively.
Oh, absolutely. Sonny Gray.
I mean, I think we've seen that.
I mean Sonny Gray is a terrific pitcher right now for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, it took James Paxton a minute, too. I mean, Paxton didn't really live up to what we thought James Paxton was.
No, there's no way. I mean, if you're the Yankees, you didn't win. You traded for him. You got him. Let's be fair. He didn't live up to expectations. You moved on from him, and he goes back to where he started. You're Seattle. That's a tremendous win.
Yeah, but a place where he's comfortable, where he's had tons of success, and he'll go back to being, I mean, if he can stay healthy, that's the other thing he can't do is stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go back to being what he was. I don't know. I just think with the landscape of where baseball is at, with teams trying to shed payroll and everything else, when you look at the American League, it seems like it's the Yankees to lose, really.
It should be. I mean, they should be able to figure out a way to get to the World Series this year. All right, your Yankees calls, 800-919-3776. We got to go back to the Brooklyn Nets as well. A tremendous win from them last night. And Stump Rothenberg is coming your way at 6:45. So 800-919-3776. Rick, you have a question today? Or Ricky, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I'll have a question.
I didn't throw you there, did I? You knew who I was talking to?
No, I got you. I'll have a question for you.
Nice.
Do I have a question? It's Stump Day. Of course I got a question.
Chris, are you involved today? You have a question?
No, I didn't plan on getting involved, but if you want me involved, got me. I want you to want me. If you want me a part of Stump Rothenberg, I got you.
I'd love for you to be, but I don't want to put that pressure on you where you feel like you have to.
Okay, so we'll see where we land. We still got some time.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Talk Yankees. Yankees start today. Mets start tomorrow, so we'll get into the Mets tomorrow. And, of course, Buster Olney will join us to help us break that down. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. Good morning, Anthony. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to say, you know, as far as the Yankees are concerned, I think I kind of see what Cashman's done. I mean, I think he kind of realizes that injuries are going to happen one way or the other. So I think they have a lot of depth on that team, right? So, you know, with Kluber, for example, you know, they know his trainer. He's their conditioning guy, right? So I think, you know, I'm surprised they gave him that kind of money. But I think they know a little bit there. You know, with Talion, they fixed his arm angle, or, you know, he's changed his arm angle a little bit. But how many of these guys do you really need to come through, right, with the depth? Seve and Talion and Devi Garcia. I mean, there's a lot of guys there.
But here's the thing, though.
Herman,
you don't know,
even,
I mean,
right?
Well, okay, but you don't know, I mean, what Seve – I mean, you hope when Seve comes back, he's you know, the Severino that we know and you love as a Yankees fan. But, I mean – The point isn't, you know, can the Yankees find a way to piece this thing together to get through to win the AL East and get through the regular season?
That right. The question is, who are you going to start game two, right?
And here's the thing. Here's my point, though. I mean, I think you guys, I mean, obviously Cole, and I'm with you with Montgomery. I think he's a little bit underrated. But the rest of the guys, I think, you know, I think there's going to be someone who steps up. I'm not sure if it's going to be Seve. I'm not sure if it's going to be Talion. I'm not sure if it's going to be any of these other guys. Herman. But I think they have enough guys there that, you know, some are going to get injured, some are going to be disappointments, but I think, you know, some are going to hit, right, because they have so many of them. I'm not really concerned with the hitting because, I mean, I think the hitting is going to be there one way or the other. But with the pitching staff, I think they signed so many guys. Even this guy, Justin Wilson, that they got. Look what they did. They got rid of Ottavino, right, and they signed O'Day and Wilson. And so they got two guys, really, for the price of what you'd be paying. You know, I was a little bit concerned with the bullpen, but I think that kind of shaped out nicely. They got a lot of guys there as well. So I just think they have enough guys that, you know, someone is going to work out. A few of them are going to work out and a few of them aren't. And I think it all come together, you know, when it's all said and done.
You might be right, but that's a big risk to take. I mean, when your goal is to win a World Series, that's a big, we'll add all this depth and then hopefully, fingers crossed, a couple of these guys pan out.
But that's what they've done. I mean, they are throwing it against the wall and hoping that again, like I said before, if 50% of them stick, then that's going to be a win for Brian Cashman and the Yankees. If Taillon or Kluber turns out to be really good and you can slot that in as your third starter, and if Severino comes back and if Montgomery or Garcia is legitimate, like, there's a lot of ifs with this team.
That's a lot of ifs, and to Rick's point, I mean, you're trying to compete for a championship. You do want some certainty. You do want something that you know you can depend on, and it's like the Yankees, if they were playing spades, they got three in a possible when it comes to the rotation and when it comes to their bullpen. And you're just looking for sure things, guys that you know that you can trust in a big spot. And right now, you can't say with any degree of confidence that they have that with the middle and the back end of the rotation or with the middle of their bullpen.
You're hoping at some point in some of these kids step up, too. I really like Montgomery. I like Davey Garcia. I mean, you got plenty of arms. It's just, do those guys, I mean, Clark Schmidt, you know,
that's
Michael
right, King.
Do these guys step up and take the ball and run with it? Because that's what you need if you're going to try to win a championship. Because you're going to need all these arms anyway. The reality is you're going to need all these arms anyway.
Over 162 games, which they're going to play, you need a lot of arms. Let's go to Chappaqua and bring in Stevie. Stevie, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, guys, you are terrific, very enjoyable. And I want to stop the narrative about Stanton being a bust. Last season at the playoffs, he was phenomenal, 6 home runs in 7 games. And I think this year with the agility, you know, workouts, he and Judge versus weights, I think he and Judge are going to be healthy. And I'm optimistic that they're both going to come through. But I think Stanton gets a bad rap. What do you guys think?
He was great in the postseason. Can I ask you a question? He's gone now. But he says, I think that Stanton and Judge are going to be healthy. How can you believe
you
that to be the case?
That's blind faith. You can't, because they haven't stayed healthy. They haven't. I mean, at their size, their bills, they have not been able to stay healthy. It's been one thing or another.
So other than you're a Yankees fan and you want to believe that they're going to be healthy, I don't understand how you can take that tact heading into this season.
I guess because you have no choice, really. I mean, you don't. I mean, you're talking about two of the most, you know, important offensive pieces on your team. Not to mention, I mean, Aaron Judge in right field, what he does for you defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So my only problem with Giancarlo Stanton is that you sign him. I mean, this guy's making all this money. He's 30 years old, and he can't play. He's not a position player. He's a DH. You know,
yeah.
You have a full-time DH on a team that you could use the versatility to have guys, you know, when they need days off, jump
from
in
the
as
field,
DHs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it takes away, you know, your versatility lineup-wise, and then because he makes so much money, what you're able to do, because they're using this 210 as a hard salary cap for themselves, what you can do financially. I mean, that's really what it does.
Yeah, no, they're pretty much locked into this is what they're going to do. And this is how they're going to try to do it. And we'll see if they're going to have success. But, yeah, this is an interesting season for the Yankees. It really will be. Guests on DCRP or via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's go to Rex. Rexy, Brooklyn, you're next up on 98.7.
You're such a bad guy.
Well, how am I a bad guy? I say the first name, and then I come up with a nickname now. I like that philosophy. It's a win for everybody.
I've been called that before, but not by a guy before.
Okay. All right.
Dave does have a womanly body though.
Right. Understood, but a little awkward maybe. But
yeah, maybe a little bit.
Well, Dave specializes in that, Rex. What you got for us today?
It's all good. You know, I agree with you too, with the other caller said. What you guys just said. I think that whole Stanton signing was it was suspect to me when they signed them anyway. But that's not what I called about. I called about what you guys were saying before about the rotation. And you made an interesting point, like a lot of question marks. And I think there were question marks at the end of the year, last year. So I'm not happy with how Cashman handled it in the fact that if you know you're going to have some question marks in your rotation coming up, why wouldn't you do the best you can to support those question marks, like solidify your defense and solidify the catcher behind the plate. You know, I mean, honestly, Sanchez at best is a C catcher behind the plate.
Oh, come on. Sanchez at best is not a C catcher.
I mean, behind the plate. I mean, talk about catching the ball behind the plate.
Yeah, but that's not their concern with him. But that, I mean, Rex, Sexy Rexy, you know this is not the concern with Gary Sanchez. You're willing to deal with the mediocre defense if he's going to be who he needs to be offensively.
Yeah,
that's
but
been the problem. He's been awful offensively.
You kind of, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you catch me, you got to wait. Okay, you know what? What's more important? Do I want to solidify and help my rotation, or do I need the bat? I mean, you have guys on the lineup already who could support, who could provide power.
Yeah, but Rex, Rex, that's a good point you made. Rex, let me ask you a question. I mean, you're a huge Yankees fan. In the most important games of last season, who was behind the plate?
Sanchez.
No, it was Higashioka.
Higashioka was behind the plate in the biggest moments last year.
But that's the point I'm trying to make. I mean, your best pitcher doesn't even want to pitch at Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you trust Sanchez with the rest of your rotation who's not Gerrit Cole? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, because any starting pitcher will tell you. I mean, listen, Gerrit Cole, he can do. I mean, he'll if you know he decides that he wants to throw to DJ LeMahieu, that they'll find a way to make that happen. You're paying him that much money; he's that good. But I mean, you can't offensively. What Gary Sanchez is capable of doing behind the plate is at that position such an advantage for the New York Yankees if he can do it. But he's not going to have a long leash this season. I mean, you saw it last year in the postseason.
And they just brought Chirinos in also to the organization.
Well, if he struggles and he's just, I mean, more of what we saw last year, they're not afraid. They showed you last year in the biggest games they played Higashioka. You got plenty of offense. And Higashioka came through in big spots with big hits.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're not going to be afraid to put him behind the plate.
He's not a bad catcher. Certainly to put him in the big game. He's not a bad option if you're not pleased with what Sanchez is doing. Let's go to Andrew Manalapan. Andy, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, fellas. So I have a question for you guys. I'm a big Yankee fan, and I have this argument all the time with friends. What do you guys think about Aaron Judge long term? You know, do you see it as a risk, the fact that he's, you know, he can't stay healthy? My argument is that his body is just not built for baseball, and I'm kind of afraid to pay him long-term.
Here's the concern with Aaron Judge, and it goes back to the point the other caller made with Stanton. I mean, the best way to keep Aaron Judge healthy is to find a way to keep him in the lineup without having him in right field.
Mm.
And you can't do that now. So you sign him long-term, your DH spot is already taken by a guy making $30 million a year.
Tons of money.
Yep.
It gets me so nervous, though, to think about moving on from him, because he can be so good. I mean, when he's right and he's healthy, he's a top five player in all of baseball.
No, there's no question about it, Dave. I mean, he's huge when he's healthy, but that's so infrequent. And if you're the Yankees and you got to make a decision on, you know, whether or not you're going to extend him and give him a long-term deal, I mean, this is a huge year in determining whether or not you want to make that kind of financial commitment. Because, I mean, Aaron Judge is going to cost you a whole lot of money. If he's able, you know, so you got to make sure that this is the road that you want to go down. And I think him being able to be in the lineup and play 120 games, I think that goes a long ways to answering the question of whether or not Brian Cashman, after this year, decides him to give him that long-term deal rather than let him go into his last year arbitration.
This seems like one of those deals, if you were going to make it, I mean, you would
made
try to
it
make
already.
It. Well, I mean, you would have tried to done the same thing you kind of did with Severino, right? Is, you know, he's making, you know, a
right,
lot of
get
money
him at a discount now
as
for
opposed
the,
to
the
let
later
him go,
years.
Yeah, let him get closer to free agency.
I just, you know,
well,
the
his age
about
though.
Sanchez moving on, I'd be terrified about Judge moving on and being a star somewhere else.
I don't disagree with you. I think we all agree that Aaron Judge, when right and healthy, he's one of the best players in Major League Baseball. Both sides, I mean, defensively and offensively. The problem is, I mean, you start talking about, you know, he's a free agent at 31 years old, and you sign mm-hmm. him to a long-term deal, and, you know, the DH spot's not available. I mean, there's a real chance he breaks down. And is actually hurt more frequently than he is now, when he's in his prime. It sucks. I mean, it sucks for him that this is why baseball in, this is why, I'm telling you right now, and this is not the conversation to have right now, this is why the great athletes don't choose baseball. Because it takes way too long to get to the money in baseball.
That's right. Because you're not going to get paid for quite a while. And you're not even going to start your professional, like your major league career, if you're young until 23, 24 years old. Like the Bryce Harpers are the outliers. That's not what you see now. It's going to Mike. We're going to do Stump Rothenberg in a moment. Mike in Staten Island. Mikey, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Pleasure to get through. How are you?
We appreciate the call. What's going on, buddy?
I appreciate you guys. This is a first-time call for you guys. I love the show. It took me a while to adjust, but I do want to say I mostly agree with what you guys have to say. However, I caught the tail end of someone saying Aaron Judge needs to be DH to stay healthy. Totally disagree. He needs to stay healthy. However, this guy is almost as good defensively as he is offensively.
No, time out. Mike, time off 1 second. We didn't say, I'd never said that he needs to be the full-time DH to stay healthy. But you have a better chance of keeping him healthy if when you do want to rest him in right field because you don't want to lose his bat, you can plug him in at DH.
You put him at a loss for words now. No, you're 100% right. If I play him 4 days a week in right field and 2 days a week at DH, I mean, that adds up. That makes sense. But
who would you rather have in your lineup? Listen, who would you rather have in your lineup more often? Stanton or Judge?
Judge.
I don't think it's a question. That's why it made no sense when they did it. You already had Stanton. Judge is Stanton, but better. He's a better defender. I mean, I don't know. The whole move at the time made, I mean, talk about Derek Jeter sticking it to the Yankees.
but you know what? It felt like it was too good to be true. That's what it felt like. We're given very little to get this guy who's coming off, 57 home runs? It felt like it was too good to be true. And you know what? It might have been.
No, you're right, Dave. And I think Brian Cashman was gambling on this team being able to win at least one World Series between when he made the move and right now. And the fact that you hadn't done it, it just makes the clock tick a little bit faster in terms of this team being able to get it done as constituted. Like, I just feel like after this season, the Yankees are going to have to make some really hard decisions when it comes to what their roster looks like moving forward. And Giancarlo Stanton is going to be one of those clogs that makes it a little bit difficult to keep some of the guys that you might want to hang on to.
You know why this, Dave, but you know why this season may be an important season, and we're sitting here talking about all the ifs with the pitching staff?
It's a big season for the Yanks. Go ahead.
No, but I mean, and on top of that, though, just imagine if you're Brian Cashman and Severino comes back. I mean, you already got him signed to a really, I mean, reasonable contract. He comes back and he's Severino. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, Davey Garcia steps up. Clark Schmidt steps up. Montgomery solidifies himself. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about, I mean, look at your rotation.
Yeah, and you're spending no money on it outside of Cole.
Exactly right.
Yep. It's a good point. It's a valid point, Ricky. Beautiful point. Spend your tax return wisely with Straight Talk Wireless. You can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk. All right. Let's go. Time for a little Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right. This is when the stress level hits peak numbers. Stump Rothenberg. Let's bring him in, a man that loves it like no other, and that is Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
Well, good morning, Andy. How are you? Have you been? Welcome aboard.
Davey, I am doing great. So listen, the Knicks play tonight in Orlando. By the way, pregame starts 6:30 right here on 98.7.
Following what show, Andy?
That would be following the Michael Kay Show, of course.
Very well done.
So, earlier this season, Nikola Vucevic became the third Magic player to attain 10,000 points. Can you name the other two Orlando Magic players to reach the sweet 10,000 mark for the organization?
Most points in Orlando Magic history. I would think that Dwight Howard has to be there. No, well, I'm not giving answers yet. Let me think about this. I would think Dwight Howard has to be there. Oh, I got the ding. I wonder if McGrady's there. Shaq, Nick Anderson. Those are the three that jump to mind. The question is, was Shaq there long enough? And I would say probably not. And there's no way you're going to ask me Shaq, so I'm going to eliminate him. I'm going to say the man that missed clutch free throws and go with, out of the University of Illinois, one Nick Anderson.
Nick the Brick Anderson is correct.
Well,
nicely done, Davey.
There you go.
Stay healthy, boys.
There we go. I mean, that's a start.
That's a really good start, yeah.
That's a start.
You could have easily been tripped up with that question. Easily tripped up.
Oh, How about that? Oh, I feel good about things. All right. So do you want to play, Rick, or should we go to the callers?
It's up to you. I have a question. I mean, it seems topical. I mean, since what we've been talking about, but it's up to you. Whatever. This is your segment. It is Stump Day. Whatever you would like to do.
Okay. I'd like to go to Marco. I like to call him Marcarini in Brooklyn. Marco, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Welcome to Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, what are the only four teams in the NFL to never make it to a Super Bowl?
Lions, Browns. This is going to take a second, but... Lions, Browns... Ay, ay, ay. The Chargers have been. The Bengals have been. The Bills have been. Ravens, Steelers have been, obviously. Chris, you must know this. Lions, Browns, Cardinals have been. All the teams in the East.
You're missing a glaring team.
Well, of course. The other two are glaring. I mean, the Vikings have been. The Bears have been. The Lions, I said. The Packers have been. The Rams have been. The Seahawks have been. The Niners have been.
So we're just going to go through every team in the NFL then.
Well, it's a badly run franchise, Dave. They're the poster child for badly run franchises.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now.
You know what? It's the Texans and the Jaguars. Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Like that kind of party.
I wasn't thinking the newer teams, but there you go. All right, so that's 2-0. Let's go to the Hawker. I like to call him Hawkeye in Long Island. Hawkeye, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Oh, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Question about the space program.
Oh, good. I was hoping we would get something like that
today. The most NASA astronauts have gone to college at, in order, the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy, and West Point. But what non-military university has produced the most astronauts?
Hmm. Rick, could it be your alma mater of Harvard?
You know, there are a lot of smart people like me at Harvard.
Yeah.
It's a terrific question.
I actually think that Stanford could be up there. I bet like an MIT. You know what I think is up there also? Because I don't know if they're up there at this level. Purdue, I think, is up there as well. I don't know.
Is Rice in that conversation?
Not that I am aware.
Okay.
But I appreciate the help.
Would you go to space if you could?
No. Go to space. I don't like to fly.
Wind horse in space.
No. I would not go to... Would you?
No. No, I'm all set.
No, there's no way. I'm going to... See, I think MIT is too easy. Because I think that's where he wants me to go. I'm going to say it's either Stanford or Purdue. But I don't know why I have Purdue in my head.
I also got to MIT, if you're wondering.
Did you?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, do they even have a hockey team? I'm going to... Oh, God. Rick, help me out here. Where do I go?
I would agree with you that I feel like MIT seems like it's...
Too
like
easy, right?
Yeah, he's trying to trip you up.
Then I'm going to go Purdue.
That's your final?
Oh, God. Yes?
It used to be Purdue. The newest class of astronauts just pushed MIT into fourth.
Ah!
Wow.
Ah!
That's a trick question. We were bamboozled.
Oh, gosh. I feel so terrible right now. All right, Rick, let's see if I can end on a high note. Oh.
So you want my question? Or are we taking another call? What do you want to do?
No, your question. You're
all right, here we go. David, this is topical because that's what we like to do here. We've been talking Yankees. Yankees start today. Which Yankee currently holds the highest career batting average as a Yankee?
Now, is there a minimum amount of at-bats?
And I'm not going to. This is not like one of those Fugazi questions where I'm going to try to. I'm trying to trick you. I'm trying to.
So you're not
going to
ask me like the guy that's had 19 at-bats?
No. No.
I mean, this seems so easy, doesn't it? Seem like it has to be LeMahieu?
It seems like it does. Seems like it would.
But I feel, I don't know. because I feel like you're toying with me here and you're going to make me think it's LeMahieu and then you're going to ask me someone else. What's Judge? You don't think Judge can be there?
Batting average? No, batting average, though.
But for the sake of time and lack of anyone else jumping into my mind, and I think I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going to guess DJ LeMahieu. Yeah, I know it's wrong because you wouldn't ask that question.
It's the easiest answer. Who's the most recognizable Yankee in the history of the Yankees?
Wait, I thought you said current player.
No, I didn't say current player. I said which player.
Oh, well, I misunderstood.
I thought you said current player, too.
Babe Ruth.
Yes. Babe Ruth is correct.
I think I actually would have said Lou Gehrig, to be honest with you, had you asked me that and I had understood it correctly.
349.
You sure he didn't say current player, by the way?
No. If I did, I did not mean to say current player. I didn't think I said current player.
You might have said player currently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, probably,
currently was used.
Yeah, I said it after, though. Playing current and up. Oh, I
don't. We're
going
to have to go to the audio tape on this one. If you said player.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Or currently playing or something.
I didn't say currently playing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7. 8.7.